listener production.
Activate your internet, because the Hamish and Andy podcast starts in 3, 2. Sorry, still buffering. 1.
Ahoy to me, Cirrus. Hamish.
I think I've got an inkling.
I think we're in the spot.
But I'll take this seriously and allow, and Jack, you to have yours.
Ahoy to my cumulus, Jack.
Yes, we are in the sky.
Here we go, baby.
Yes. I'll be a Nimbostratus.
Oh, of course, the rarest and most beautiful of all the clouds. And I will be an Amazon Web Services, also a very popular cloud.
There you go.
Wait. Give us a brief description of what each cloud is.
Typically appear delicate and wispy with white strands is what a cirrus one is. Formed when warm, dry air rises. Ham, that's you. Cumulus, low-level clouds are often a precursor to other types of clouds. So you normally merge into something else, Jacko. Little to no precipitation.
Shapeshifter. No, yeah, more of an adolescent cloud.
Yes.
Yeah, hasn't finished forming yet.
Nimbostratus, a multi-level, often dark grey cloud, usually produces continuous rain. So, yeah, probably the worst type of cloud, you'd say.
You are the cloud. You've picked the cloud for yourself that would rain on someone's parade.
Yeah, sorry about that to me. that's just the way the cookie crumbled today.
Does Mike need another apology song for giving you the wrong cloud?
No, we'll let Mike get away with this one. But, Haim, also, ahoy to Brad from Adelaide, who used the very easy-to-use system at hamishandandy.com.
Oh, poor Brad.
G'day, team. It's Brad from Adelaide. I do apologise in advance if you have already covered this because I haven't, as suggested on the podcast, listened from episode 1. Idiot. And I also realise that you may have hit the chocolate content quota already for the year. But I'd like to draw your attention to the packaging on Cadbury chocolate blocks, in particular the classic line glass and a half. Mm-hmm. I'm possibly dropping the bombshell, I'll let you term the phrase, that this is now false. On the back of the pack, it says the equivalent of a glass and a half of full cream milk in every 200 gram block of Cadbury dairy milk chocolate. Mm-hmm. But flip the package over and the block is 180 grams. So we're not getting our glass and a half anymore. We're actually getting 1.35 glasses. Doesn't have the same ring to it, but looking forward to your thoughts. Cheers, boys.
He's right.
I do remember something being, first of all, well-researched, Brad, the very, very unusually high level of detail for this show, unless it involves chocolate, but we do like to go very, very deep. I do remember I'd have to do some research on this, which
that's not going to happen.
Seems unlikely. Just very busy day looking ahead. But didn't they drop it? I remember Cadbury coming out and saying, "Yeah, we're slightly changing that. We are."
Because they did drop the amount. They haven't dropped the. It's a classic thing from chocolate bars. I think you've discussed it before, Ham. You don't drop the price.
You drop the amount of
you
chocolate.
You drop the volume of chocolate.
Yep. You just slightly make it smaller. And so you hope people won't notice.
So if they've gone down that path and changed it from 200 grams to 180, they can't have a glass and a half.
What they're doing, they're actually saying a ratio. They're going glass and a half per 200 grams. Mm. It would be nice for you to have 200 grams, but you poor fool, you're only holding 180.
Yes.
If you want 200, you got to buy two blocks of these and throw most of the second block away.
That's true. I'll keep it.
Which is not as snazzy a catchphrase. But yeah, no, good detecting.
Yep.
Good detecting. I mean, please.
This is the show for it.
If there's one industry that's just absolutely having a field day with our emotions and thinking we're not going to look deeper, it's the chocolate industry.
Yes.
And we will always look deeper.
Yep.
We are, I think we're probably the most in-depth chocolate podcast on the market.
Well, let's just say it, because most podcasts come out and make wild claims about how they're the most of something. So, yeah, that's fine.
Number one chocolate podcast. Jack, you happy with that?
Yeah, every day I get closer as well to doing the doorstop of the Mars CEO for more information on Mars products.
That's not a lie. In the future, if it happens, you are closer and closer. So another exciting step taken today. Yeah. Did I ever tell you, Andy, in one of the all-time great marketing spins, there's many, many years ago, like 2010 or something, I was in an indie film in New Zealand, right, called Two Little Boys, right?
Like an indie film, by the way.
Yeah. Great fun.
I watched it again. It is you did a really good job. I know it took the time, but go check it out. It's not that little. I think it's one of the New Zealand's did very well in New Zealand.
Well, it was a it was like a popular indie film in New Zealand. Although, I mean, it wasn't like a box office smash. However, that's where the marketing came in, because there's a chain of pizzas in New Zealand called Hell Pizza, and they did a Two Little Boys pizza, like a promotional tie-in.
Great collab.
Yeah, a promotional tie-in with the release of the film. That was their highest sellers, their most popular ever pizza.
Right.
And so for a while, some of the marketing material, Two Little Boys was referred to as the number one movie based pizza.
As long as you put based pizza very small.
Yeah, that's it. Exactly, number one, kind of New Zealand's number one movie, small font based pizza.
It's like best sales.
Just nice to be part of a number one film, to be honest. Just nice to be part of a number one film.
That's true. Haim, you were at the top of the show.
Guys, let me ask you this question. And we'd never do this on the show, but I'm going to even allow us to... We can pause the show for 30 seconds. What I want to do here is I'm about to ask you a question. I will stop the record for 30 seconds. Right. Then we'll come back in after you've had your thinking time. You might even need like 15 or 20 seconds.
Okay.
Right? Here is my question. I think we all can agree we're very lucky to be in the jobs we're in.
Oh, yeah. Jack takes it for granted, but.
You especially, Jack.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay.
I'll put my hand up.
I'm very lucky. Yeah.
Here's my question, and we can pause the podcast, come back in 20 seconds with your answer. I want you guys to tell me, what do you think the highest paying job you could apply for outside of the entertainment industry is with your current skills? Mics are off. Good luck. You've got 15 to 20 seconds. All right, we're back.
Got to qualify something. We can't use any of the notoriety or profile we have now, can we? Like, if you're saying that...
Oh, are you thinking of the old footy player real estate agent switch? Every previous football champion is now a real estate agent somewhere
trusted.
Because it does... Yeah, trusted too. Yeah. But it gives people a bit of an excitement to go, hey, a Brownlow medal winner of yesteryear just showed me through a two better.
Yes. So is that...
No. This is just...
Based off our skills we've got.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, would you like me to slightly change it?
Can it be like the job for or what you could make the most money from?
No, it's like what do you think the best job you could do is with your current skills? All right, I'll change it slightly. That you could turn up and competently put in one day of work at. Okay? Like you could pass for one day and get through it to a competent level.
I feel like I'd feel pretty confident at the top of a pyramid scheme.
That's the best place to be with one of those.
But you know, like,
no, but no
selling...
one walks into the top of a pyramid.
I know, but
day one,
selling.
That's true, Jack. Yeah. In fact, if you're walking in, you just never get to the top. But you mean like a Ponzi scheme?
Yeah. I suppose like
That's your pick.
I'm saying the top paying. Like everything else for my skills, I would not be able to have the upside.
So ripping.
But do you think you could
trick
people into investing?
Wouldn't feel good about it, but I think that'd be...
But I'm answering the question.
It's true, actually. If you came to me and said you have a great investment opportunity, I would believe you.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be...
The smile there from Andy was so telling.
No, because
he had a little flicker of mental note. I should actually get that. I should do that.
I should circle around to Jack.
If he ever finds those Bitcoins, I will actually revisit this idea.
Yes, I think
Jack,
that's...
Jacko. Well, maybe mine was slightly different because I'll go next, Jacko. Yeah. I say this with the greatest respect to this profession. I don't want this to be confused with me saying you don't need to train to be this profession or that I don't have respect and appreciation for them because I use them.
Yeah.
But I honestly think I could get through one day of being a GP.
No. I could get through a day
because I think I have enough general medical knowledge because I do a lot of Googling medical issues and I've got now 20 years experience of going to the GP for the what they would see most things.
Yeah, but okay, colds and stuff, sure.
That's like, what the day some, is, Jack.
Yes, that what
is
about what someone most... with a serious medical issue?
What is it? What are the symptoms?
Look, well, like they can't breathe properly.
God, go to emergency. That's not what you go to the GP for. No, I can't send them straight to emergency.
Yeah, okay.
I suppose you can. I've got it. I mean, you can.
Yeah, you're
refer.
Right. You're just referring or saying,
again,
get some
I'm not.
Medicine.
We're not shitting on GPs here because they're very good and you do need to go to medical school. I'm just saying.
It's like, refer or just antibiotics, isn't it?
What was the last thing you went to the GP for, Jack, that wasn't treated by the holistic dentist?
No, my holistic dentist did just do dental.
Okay.
The last thing I went to the GP for. Jeez, it's been a while.
Really?
Yeah.
They're free. I'm surprised you're not there all the time.
Not why. Well, I go to the guy you have to pay and you only get so much back from Medicare.
Okay.
So I kind of give him a wide berth.
Yeah.
Oh, and you know what I had to do? I had to get a referral from the GP to go to the sleep study. So I said I could do that. Absolutely. I'm not sleeping well at night. And I pretty much said, and I want to go and see the sleep study specialist.
No dramas, mate. Go see this guy.
Yeah, that's
mine was a referral because I'd like to get my skin checked for skin cancers.
Yep, absolutely, mate. Can't recommend enough. Do it every 6 months. Here's a good clinic. Make sure you go to a registered skin cancer clinic and or if you go to a dermatologist, go to this website because you want to make sure that someone's been trained properly to spot skin cancers.
And then you could
And you're just Googling those doctors.
And you all are allowed to Google as well. Yeah. I've been to GPs where they're allowed to Google. There's no rule that says you're not allowed to Google. They Google all the time.
It's a very good point. It's like when my dad used to be the information technology teacher at the local community centre. Did I tell you this?
No.
Yeah.
And so people would come in and say, hey, I've got a problem with my mobile phone. And he'll go, oh, yes. And they said, you know, it's a Apple, da da da. And he goes, I've got some notes on that. And he'd just type in the problem.
Because your dad, I don't imagine he's an IT whiz.
Not at all. Terrible. He just likes giving. So I suggested he could do it in better places. Yeah. But one guy came in, I swear I told you this. One guy came in, normally the elderly or people's English as a second language, his dad who's helping. One guy came in and said, I've been told there's porn inside the computer. This 80-year-old Greek guy, he said, and he was holding his laptop. He said, It's in here. I've been told it's in here. And Dad said, well, I don't think that's appropriate to come to the community centre to ask for that. But
it
Google,
is 90% of the internet.
Google, you can type in anything.
Yeah.
You could type in.
And if it tells you, I didn't tell you that. I just told you about this friend of mine, Google, who knows everything.
If you type in, you know, what's the biggest frog in the world, it'll tell you what the biggest frog in the world. And the guy said, yes, but I want the porn. And not quite picking up on the clues.
Yes.
That no, Dad was
I want the biggest something else. Yeah. Is it only for frogs or would it work for the size of anything? No, you can certainly find the size of any and many things.
I think Amy's got a point.
Jack, what about vaccinations?
Yeah, get them for sure.
No, they come to you because you can go to the GP and say,
go see the nurse down the hall. Yeah, I don't do them.
The nurse
does them.
Okay.
Suck it, mate. Have you had to bring Gordy to a doctor? That's probably the only area if a baby had an issue.
You'd feel a bit
that's
nervous.
The only thing, I'm not saying, you know, adult lives aren't important too, but if a baby had an issue, that's maybe where I'd lean across and go, listen, I'll be honest with you, I'm doing this as a test.
This is my
I'm doing this as a bet just to see if I can make it through the day. So I'll tell you what I think, but do go and see a pediatrician.
We never got Jack's.
Yeah, what's yours, Jack?
I thought I could walk onto a building site as a competent fourth-year apprentice.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Better
so
than
you
some.
Still have someone telling you what to do,
yes,
but
so
you know
not,
enough of the terms.
You're not responsible. But now that I see you, how much you're going for, I'm just going to blag my way through it. I'll say builder.
No, Jack. No, you couldn't even finish your own house.
You build your house
well,
on
ask
promises.
Me, ask
and...
me any question.
Okay. We
Andy,
put
you're working with a builder at the moment. Give him your most recent question for your house.
Okay. We want to put a tunnel in underneath the...
Must be
That's all you got to say, Jack. Must be nice, mate. Thank you very much. Remember, there's 15% on that for you, Jack.
Okay, I'm seeing dollar signs everywhere.
I'm interested here. Jack, there's a proposed tunnel, just a small one, that goes underneath
tunnel.
underneath the Heritage House. So we have to work out what to do with the Heritage House.
Yep. Definitely ring Dole before you dig to make sure you're not digging into any wires.
And he's not doing it. He's not putting the tunnel in.
You're
no
the builder,
one,
mate.
No one building a house with a tunnel's digging their own tunnel.
I would confidently say that 99% of Australian builders haven't had to build a tunnel under a Heritage House.
It's fair. It's fair. Someone is staying. It needs to be able to take quite a lot of bullion too.
Okay. So you're going to say, I'll call Dahl before you dig. Is that the first thing you're going to say?
What I'll say is like, yes, we can make that happen. Leave that with us.
Yeah, I was planning on, again, Jack, he is planning on leaving it with the builder. He's not asking to dig his own tunnel.
I'm saying,
so
we can,
how
we
do you go about it? I hear it's quite hard.
Yeah, what machine do you use?
Yeah, well, you use a boring machine.
But why is it so boring?
Yeah, no, sounds like we're speaking to one.
We'll use the drills to take up the floorboards. We'll stack them to one side of the room so that we can put them back how we found them. Then we'll get the boring machine going. To dig
far
under
out.
The
this is pretty step by step. We'll get it going, and if it doesn't start the first time, obviously give it a real good rip, get it going again. Yeah. And we'll move it.
Get the tunnel going. And
why are you removing the floorboards?
Did you want it to start in the house?
No.
Okay, so I thought it was like a secret tunnel under a rug type thing.
Okay, no.
Where does the tunnel start?
It doesn't matter.
God, I'd love this.
We can do it.
I've been told underpinning is important. Like, how do you do underpinning?
No, well, the house should have plenty of underpinning, but if it needs...
if it's my fault if it falls over.
If it needs some more, we should be able to provide that with right. No so problem.
It should be there, but if more needs to be there, we can make more be there.
Yep.
You're the best, mate.
Hey, this is the show you come to. If you've got a special skill that's not being properly recognised by the greater community, come to us. We'll test it. So you can't just claim it and then get the accolades. We'll test it. And then once you've been tested and you've been successful, we'll then say, yes, you deserve the accolades. We'll give you a coin, generally an H&A coin.
That is what people are playing for. That is what a young man called Jack came to the show with. His special skill he claimed was being able to tell exactly where the door of a train is going to pull up on the platform. We had a lot of conditions about this because you hear that skill and you go, okay, there's a couple of ways he could fake this. We decided to meet him at Southern Cross train station.
It was a random station of our choosing.
That's not one he goes to. We had a few other conditions, so don't worry, we were onto this. We met up with him this morning. This is how it went.
Here with Jack.
Hello.
How are you feeling, Jack?
Swell.
Swell.
Yeah.
Southern Cross Station. Big station.
Very big.
But this would be like your grand final, really, wouldn't it? I mean, Southern Cross Station, not much of a bigger stage for someone living in Melbourne who prides themselves on train door positional guessing.
It's like a grand final if I was from interstate.
Yeah.
So I'm Brisbane coming down to play Collingwood the G.
Yeah.
It's not my home station. I'm a Parliament guy, Croydon station.
Yeah. But you do understand the gravity of the ground and what it means to
I
people.
Do understand it's a train station.
Have you been to this station before?
Like three times to watch Essendon get smashed at Marvel. So
yeah.
All right,
yeah,
so
yeah.
You don't
I'm not familiar.
You
don't,
we have people obviously nitpicking a lot. Nits. On our special skills and how we conduct them. This is great news. For those that are, there were people already writing in to say, hey, make sure you don't pick a home station.
Can't take him to his home station because for people that commute every day, you would get a feel. You'd be like, if I stand like five steps left of the vending machine, I'm always hitting a door there.
Yeah.
But for you, this is feel.
It is feel here, yeah. You get a lot of time at Parliament down those big escalators to suss out where you're going to go, but here, no idea.
Are we able to position you in the middle of the platform-ish?
I thought you could say middle of the tracks. So I was like, no, middle.
We've been told by management. We have to make it more exciting.
All right, cool, middle of the platform if you want. And then I walk down and choose something.
My point is, I think you kind of know where a train's going to stop. Yeah. Like, don't they go to the very end and they've got a little...
There's a line.
So the end is too easy.
Yes.
So I'm happy to be in the middle.
Okay, good.
Yeah,
because I think because then
tell us what you know about trains. I mean, do you want to give away any of your
trade secrets? No.
But do you
know the distance between doors?
I don't even know. Like, they confuse me how they work, honestly.
Right.
Yeah, I don't really understand.
It's just electricity on the road.
No, but what's the thing at the top? What's
that's
that?
That's electricity.
Oh, is it? Yeah. Is that what makes it move?
Yeah. I don't know if you're playing Doggo.
It's a learning
here.
Podcast. Isn't it?
Is that what makes it move? Well, no, it's not. Yeah. But it goes through the thing that does make it move, the engines, which are at
are
the bottom.
Are you guys a train podcast motors. Now?
No. We're at risk of starting this the third most boring thing. We've gone with fish.
No, this is just someone that's, you know, read enough books at a five-year-old level.
To
explain to kids.
Jack, I walked this station 3 days ago.
Yeah.
Did the old pitch inspection. And key test, there was, can't get the key in the platform. Hard as nails.
Concrete.
There was nothing I could see mid-platform that would indicate where a door would stop.
Right, so you did the old, like in a movie, where you're trying to get inside the criminal's mind. Yeah. Like, how does he do it? How is he doing it? So, is there a technique? You don't have to tell us what it is.
No, it's touch and feel. One thing I'll say is you do have to stand behind the yellow line, obviously.
Yeah. Oh,
don't want to get arrested.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
Have you... You've obviously been with mates. Have you called this out to them to go, fellas, stand with me and we'll get the door?
Look, it's a multifaceted skill. I don't like to do it around friends. I like to just do it by myself just to get the general public. So it's like a time saving is the first part.
Yeah.
And then just a wow factor.
Both things appeal to me.
Been in front of a baby one time, swear it winked at me.
Got a baby wink.
Yeah.
Because kids would know that. Kid probably catches the train all the time and goes, I hate not being at the door. Yeah, having to be wheeled to
Mom,
the
what are you doing?
Because... For the people that move to the line early, and there are early movers when the train's coming to the platform, everyone's making their claim, aren't they?
Are.
When you move to the line and you stand, you're sort of going...
This is it.
Unwritten, like unconsciously, you're going, I believe I know where the door is.
I want to be first on. That's what people...
And when the door lands in front of you and some idiot four steps to your left has completely goofed it and they're between doors...
Yeah.
That must feel amazing.
It does feel great. Just the look on their face and as they look at you as you just walk straight on, choose your, get your selection of choice of what seat you want.
And then, you know, seconds later, here they come, bustling through the door, nothing left.
The amount of seconds I'm saving per year is definitely in the high teens.
Wow. I'd say, Jack, must be really nice.
It's one pitch, one swing, one hit.
That's it?
Yeah. Right. You don't have multiple trains. We don't have time. But you can pick a platform.
I want to give you the margin of error that you are within one normal step of the door. So if the door's either going to be right in front of you or if it is within one...
No, I'm not giving him that.
Oh, you're not giving him netball rules.
I was giving him
netball.
The door is
pivot.
The door is three people wide.
Two for me, but yep.
He's got... You're a larger fella.
Quarter shoulders.
I would say he has to be within...
Okay, so he has to walk forwards.
Board forwards.
And hit a door.
and that door will open.
Yeah, well, so he'll walk forwards into the train, or
I
think we'd all like to see for comedic effect, if safe to do so, you walk forwards into the window.
Yes. Okay.
If it's not there.
Yeah,
if you miss
if
it by a mile,
there, I have to hit the train.
Your punishment is you have to walk forward into the train and bounce off and then not board.
That's fair.
And then hop off really quick because just remember, you've got our microphone.
Yeah.
And if you do get on it, you're celebrating. We're on the outside.
Yeah.
We just never see you again and we lose the mic.
Yeah. All right, done.
You nail it. It's a coin.
All right, cool.
Good luck.
Thank you very much.
And Jack, can't wait to see this.
Welcome to Metro.
We've entered the train station. Hamish has jumped.
Hamish jumped. Still got it,
Hamish.
Baby.
Hamish run, has run. Now jumped the rail. I was nervous that we were filming in a train station, let alone Hamish fair evading.
Well, I mean,
okay,
that's on you, Mike. You gave me a dud, Mikey.
We've got a 5-minute wait to Flinders Street on platform 10.
Guys, come on. Is it the Glen Waverley line?
It's the Glen Waverley line.
It's my old train line.
It's his old train line.
You've got to do it for Blakey.
4 minutes. Okay, let's get down there.
Platform 10?
Platform 10.
All right.
I'm going to say once we're past the vending machines, we're walking down the platform now. You're allowed to pick. That would count as middle.
Actually, 3 minutes. 3 minutes. This is on. We're on.
Wow, this is high pressure.
Okay, let's get you to the front.
Never done it with like a crowd looking either, so... It's a bit nervous.
It doesn't get bigger than this. Okay, let's get past the vending machine. Let's get you on the yellow line.
We are now what we say the middle third of the platform. Jack, it's over to you.
In
wherever
Victoria,
you want to pick.
You have the red zone up to the yellow line. You go and stand in the red zone and then have a look. Up and down platform.
Bearing in mind, the train leaves in 2 minutes, so it's going to arrive within one.
Jack, what are you thinking?
Well, I'm seeing the mind the gaps, but I've never been here before, so I don't... Oh, I have been here, but I don't remember. All right, there's a touch and feel job anyway. We're going to go right.
He's thinking about
here.
He's really thinking about it. He's gone to stand near a Mind the Gap. Now, just to paint the picture for everyone at home,
I've chosen.
Nobody is near him.
No one's hearing.
Other people have made their call. They've gone off their gut, up and down the track.
You know what I'm worried for him?
Yep.
No, I'm doing it. Can I change or am I locked
in?
I'm changing.
Yeah, I think it's a short train. I think at this hour of the day, there wouldn't be a big train.
No more change. That's it. I'm done. That's it. I'm
locked
in.
He's locked in now.
Yes. There are people down towards the tail end. Okay. Can we know which way it's coming?
It's going to come in from that direction. It's going to come from our right.
I'm right behind the other line.
Jack has re-pitched. What made you change, Jack?
I feel like this has made me change. So the directions.
Okay, you wanted to be right outside the timetable.
So people that don't
have a phone.
There's a
big sign up here that says the timetable. You think people would get out? But you.
They might go. Oh yeah, where am I going now?
But why would they put it there? Would they? That'd clog an exit. Wouldn't they put it outside of an exit?
No, because I don't feel like I feel like people go left straight away.
Okay.
So people walk that way. They're not going to go that way towards an exit. So it's not going to clog it up. I feel like right here is the spot.
I feel like you might be giving the Transit Authority too much credit that they've designed the stations. With that much
here it comes.
Oh my God, here we go.
Here it comes.
Out of the loop. It's coming out of the tunnel. Okay, everyone, mind the gap. Get behind the yellow line.
Oh my God, not on the yellow line.
It's coming in.
It's coming in.
Lovely approach pace at this stage. Very much as you'd expect
nice
the train to be coming in. Jack said to the driver, slow it down. It's like curling, but he might have slowed it down too early.
There will be a carriage in front of him. It's long enough.
Medium density.
It is slowing.
Oh my God, there's a lot of people on that carriage.
There's a lot of people, a lot of school kids.
Here we
kids.
Go. The wheel is spinning and it's now coming down to it. It's close. It's coming
it's right where it was. It's right where he was. It's right where he was.
He's failed. He's one window away. And it was down the track. You were bang on.
I was right where I was.
You were bang on.
I gave the transit line too much credit.
It's a touch and feel thing, and you overrode your instinct.
I know, I did. I overthought it.
You went all touch and feel to begin with, and then went all brain and head and mind after that.
I should have been fast and loose.
Yeah. You overthought it,
didn't you? I overthought it, yeah.
Oh, man.
I don't think you could have got it more wrong, by the way.
What?
You were close to in the middle, weren't you?
Yeah, no, he hit this window here.
It
was close. I was pretty close.
Very wrong, but not the most wrong.
Yeah.
Well,
so not a Simpsons guy.
Not a Simpsons guy, but I think as we all discussed at the start, you will have to cover my fine for fair evasion as a penalty. So appreciate
that's a
deal.
That. All right, deal.
Jack, well done. Is this your platform?
Technically is my platform.
Yeah. Are you going home or?
No, I'm going back to work.
All right. Okay, we'll all go this way then. Yeah, I was going to say, we can leave you here.
No.
Wow.
Commiserations.
Hi everyone, Hamish here. Hope you enjoyed that last bit of audio. Just want to note something. In that package, I made a bit of a joke, made it seem like I was jumping the gates at the train station, effectively fare evading, which is a crime that the Hamish and Andy Show does not condone, and none of us did. I actually, off mic, bought several Mikeys and used them legally. Just to clear that up.
You'll be able to see how close he was and then where he moved if you go to hamishnetty.com or any of our pipes. The video will be up there by Webgeezer Jez. Thanks, Jez. Is that a nod from you, mate? It is.
Nod from Jez. And there will be, if you want to see a man walk flush into the side of a train as a punishment, it's worth having a look.
Aim, they keep flooding in, so we'll keep giving them to the world. It's Power Moves. Just quickly, if I may, before we start.
Yeah.
I was chatting to a friend about a power move. Well, I'm not sure if it is a power move, but it's certainly a move I'd love to do at some point in my life. So it might have its own different category. When someone gets up to make a speech and has the notes, and they look down at the notes and then just tear them up.
I mean, that's a power move.
It's a power move, isn't it?
Yeah. That is a great power move.
Yeah. It happens in films a lot. Yeah. I just think at some point in my life, I want to do that where I pull it out and go,
you know what?
You know what? Nah.
Yeah. Not doing this.
Nah. Nah.
And or then, as an audience member, yell, tear up your notes. So request the move from the audience.
Yes.
Go off the cuff. Tear them up.
The perfect
we want
to
hear it.
To do it would be when you haven't planned anything anyway. So just get any old
take
scrap
a punk.
Paper.
Yeah.
And then go, nah.
You know what? Yeah. I was going to say something tonight, but I'm going to go completely off the cuff.
No, feels like
and then deliver a clearly predetermined speech. And what have you got for us?
I'll kick us off with this one. This is for at the pub. This is from Andrea. When you're at the pub, asserting dominance. Approach a group sitting down and ask, is anyone using this chair? When they say no, no one's sitting there, sit down and join the group.
Good one. Really like it. This is from Lily. Mm-hmm. Power move, if you're in a job where you can work from home some of the time, email, this is essentially, I think this is a way to deflect attention off your productivity when you're working from home.
Love it.
Email two colleagues you know are also working from home that day. So it helps if everyone's full-time and there's like no, are they on, are they off today? Email two colleagues who you know are also working full-time and go, hi, I'm emailing you both because I'm not sure, insert colleague one's name here, is working today. That means they start ask this, they get suspicious about each other if they're working and you can slip away.
I like
scot-free.
That. This one comes from Matt Hilton from Liverpool in England, Ham. He goes, when you're discussing options in a group for anything and normally a behaviour like where should we go, what should we do?
Yeah.
And someone brings up an idea, hit them straight away with, yeah, well, there's always the obvious option.
Good, good, good. And this one comes in from Henry. Power move when someone's doing a crossword, okay? If you're near someone doing a crossword puzzle, lean over, look at their page and loudly say, three-letter word for an automobile with four wheels. That's easy. It's car. Thus making your victim seem incapable of solving even the easiest of clues.
I love it. Might be tough to beat, but I'm going to throw one from Eloise here. She got this from first-hand experience.
Great.
During a conversation with any person, excluding bald people, squint your eyes, focus on their hair, then say, I recommend washing your hair with shampoo twice through. Once might not be enough.
That's good. I mean, any guy in their 30s just starts getting... There's sensitivity.
Yeah, yeah.
Any advice given will just be immediately taken to heart by any guy. That's good.
Ham, you and I have discussed something that we think is very important to finish today's show with. We weren't going to do it before that because obviously it might change the mood for one of us in the room and in doing so affect the whole show. It's responsible for us to place it here.
Now, obviously, before we do the podcast, we actually write down the on like a little piece of paper, like what we can, like one word or like a couple of words, what we're going to talk about. And this has times tables written on it. Jack, and am I right in saying that you had something placed on one of the sound effect buttons that should say times tables, but it will in fact place something else?
Correct.
I'm seeing that.
Okay, Jack.
Would you like to play that, Jack? And I think when you hear it, you will understand what we're doing.
Okay, playing it now.
In the regular podcast system, requests for goods and services with no intention of exchanging money for them are considered especially heinous. The dedicated detectives who investigate these tight-ass incidents are members of an elite squad known as the Special Weasels Unit. These are their stories.
Now, we're unsure whether this... neatly sat into the category case required for the Special Weasels Unit.
But Jack, before we open up a SW investigation, is there anything you'd like to confess to?
There is one glaringly obvious one that has happened.
Please share.
I don't want to say it, though, in case it's something else.
I'm sure it'll be the same one.
I incriminate myself for two things.
No, I'm sure it'll be the same one, so go for it.
Is it golf club related?
No.
Awesome. We've got him for another one.
Damn. I knew I shouldn't have played. What is it?
We got him, Ando. The fish jumped in the boat by itself. Now, we could put the rod in, but why don't you do the right thing and you come on up here by yourself? What's the golf club one, Jacko?
I'm joining the TaylorMade family.
Fantastic, Jack.
Well.
They are now my chosen golf club of choice as well.
Well, that's who I decided to choose after an independent review of all available.
And you must have done an independent review yourself, Jack.
Yes, that's who I choose. I haven't golfed yet. They're in the lab making my clubs now.
So you've been and had a fitting.
I've had a fitting, yeah.
This is not told to me, and I speak to the lads at the lab regularly.
Andy's a regular lab rat. Oh,
well done, Jack.
I told them to keep it a secret because I have one idea that, I mean, now it's wasted and it probably wouldn't have happened anyway, but I was going to spend like 10 years getting really good at golf and then bet you and verse you in a game of golf and fleece you.
Wow.
How about you doorstop the CEO of Mars first? I appreciate you feel like you have a surplus of time, but as someone that has been trying now, Jack, since the start of the year, actively to get good at golf, can I just share with you my experience? Mm. It does, like, there are a lot of people that try very hard at golf and haven't become, quote-unquote, the best in the world. Yes. It's quite a hard game.
I only had to become better than Andy and... Yeah, 10 to 15 years was my range.
He doesn't have kids and he has a golf simulator at his house. It's never going to happen.
With a 20-year head start.
Okay, I'm glad I didn't go for that then.
Like, how much time per week were you going to invest over the next 10 years to get better than Andy?
Well, I asked the guy at TaylorMade how much practice I would have
to do. This is awesome. Day one of getting fit for clubs. Ever played before, mate? No. But I am interested to know what it would take to get off scratch or be at a pro level.
He said hit twice a week at the driving range and one lesson a week.
Yep.
Over 10 years should do it. Is he underselling you, Andy?
Well,
you do want to get out on a course. That's what Andy does.
Yeah, because then you always stay ahead of me.
Well, yeah. Unless I accidentally play once a week.
And you need to up yours to thrice a week. No, Jack, I'm glad we've saved you from that. Certainly enjoy golf for the game of itself and enjoy TaylorMade after independently assessing them. Mm. I certainly agree with your choice.
Yes.
But it's not that, Jack. This is not. Okay.
Do you want the music
based.
Still?
No. Here's what happened, Jack. And I think Haim said we need to do this for your own good because we're worried that
this actually comes from a place of love.
Okay.
We're worried it's not the fact that you like things for free. We think you might be a hoarder. Is it possible you're a hoarder?
No, I'm good at it. I feel like I'm good at getting rid of things, but give me your evidence and all of that.
I think your desire to have something for free outweighs, as we've heard with the golf clubs, outweighs the likelihood that it will become a feature of your life.
Yes.
Now,
actually, when they offered me the golf clubs, I said, even before I fell in love with the idea of getting good at golf, I said yes. And then I was like, well, what am I going to do with golf?
What can you possibly do with golf? I suppose I could get things down from a higher shelf with them. Can't really think of anything else you'd do with this bag of sticks unless there was some sort of game they invented where you could use each stick for its merits.
Okay, so what am I hoarding? I don't feel like I'm a hoarder.
Jack, I think you have the same problem I have, except I buy the stuff and you just, I just can't say no when I see junk advertised online because I get so excited.
So,
and purchasing it. But then I think your excitement is just in the value you'll receive by having something for free. Oh,
yes. I know what this is about.
So last week.
Would you like to confess, Jack?
At risk of confessing again, is this about me picking up the folding card tables from Andy's house?
Yes. I thought we'd get another freebie.
Always hoping for one.
So last week after the show, I said, oh, by the way, moving house, we've got some card tables, trestle tables. Does anyone want them? And Jack paused and then went, Nah. And Hamish went, oh, you nearly wanted something for free. You couldn't help yourself. And we had a little bit of a giggle.
He likes the idea of free tables, but he doesn't have a use for them.
Some 48 hours later, I get a text saying, hey, man, am I still a chance to get those trestle tables? Which made me think it really must have sat in your brain.
Now, you talk about having done a sleep study the other week because you're having trouble sleeping at night. Is it because you've heard during the day about a freebie and you're just awake all night going,
how do I get
free table, free table, free table, free table?
I just think with a trestle table, you're going to need it one time in the future. And wouldn't it have been a sad day when we were trying to set a barbecue up or something, and we're going, oh, you know what would have been good? Those trestle tables that Andy was trying to give to us.
This is the thing. Mm. Your brain does that thing that stops people being able to clean out their wardrobe. And I have it too, where I go, can't throw that out. What if there's a Hawaiian shirt-themed party? And then I go, but actually, I have four of these shirts that I'll never wear in real life. Yeah. Well, what if there's four parties in quick succession and you don't want to be the guy wearing the same old shirt to all the parties?
Well, I will say this. I'm good at having the thing that I accept for free for about a year and then going, you know what? I'm not using that.
Where's my drums?
Yeah, well, they're being used at the moment.
Who by?
By Martin, I want to say. Martin.
You don't know who you came
from. Yes, he's off Instagram, but he's looking after them. And then as soon as we need them back, he said he will drive them over to bring them back.
He's gone, Jack. He's vanished. He stole my drums because you had them for 1 year.
Instagram account.
You had them for 1 year. That's exactly what happened.
Here's what we wanted to say. Jacko, I think you need to provide evidence of a situation where you needed the trestle tables within.
You need to produce just cause to have the trestle tables. You need to have a yard sale.
How long do I have?
1 month.
Oh, that's a little rough. Let's go to the end of this show. So 2 months, end of the year.
There we go. Before the last show of the year, you need to do something which isn't selling them that requires
me to unfold the tables.
The tables. And are they the Bunnings trestle tables, Ando? Yeah. Just like the long, right. How many?
Oh, no, they're like more of a card table, square ones. The ones we used when we, during COVID, had to do the show from the golf sim.
That's what it was for. Okay. You need a card table-based situation.
Do I need to use both?
Yes.
Okay.
Did you take both?
Yes.
Why?
Just in case.
And here comes the, here it comes.
But if I had to use for everything that I took for free, if I had to use it within a month or even 2 months, I like those jackets this that we got with point. The heat, like with the heated battery in it that makes like heats up during winter.
You couldn't snatch that fast enough.
I know, and I've never used it, and I got to get rid of that. I keep looking at it. I keep looking at the battery charge. I keep looking at the battery and thinking I'm never that cold.
When we eventually,
this is our point, Jack. This is our point. Like, this is to hopefully train you that moment where you get that lust of going, God, I could have a Bosch heated jacket, which we all got given. Mm. And Andy and I were smart enough to give ours away straight away to someone that would appreciate them more than us. Because A, with all due respect to Bosch, you're not wearing a Bosch jacket. B, the clunkiness of having to heat battery charge that thing.
That was clunky. You'd have to really be on site every day at like before 6 a.m. to warrant wanting to warm up.
Totally. And if you wear it to the footy, you can get teased by your mates.
That's what happened to you, wasn't it?
No, I didn't wear it. I gave it to Dad and said, don't wear it to the footy. I think you'll be teased by my mates.
Thanks for listening. The Hamish and Andy podcast will return next week. Catch up or contribute at hamishandandy.com.